There's two things that I want to discuss here today, and that'll hopefully help us in understanding, getting us right back into the Nefesh HaChaim of where he wants us to be in order to understand what he says further. And that is that Ratzon is expressed in two ways. Ratzon, we all know what the word means. The Ratzon is expressed in two ways, in two places. One is the Ratzon Hashem, and one is our Ratzon, Ratzon HaAdam. And of course, the Pirkei Avos says, "Atzei Ritzoincha Ki Ritzoinai, Kedei Shetia Ritzoinai Ki Ritzoincha." In other words, you have to be ma'ached our Ratzon with the Ratzon Hashem. Easier said than done. What does it mean? What's his Ratzon? What's our Ratzon? So, let me say this: the way it works in the Arizal and even in the Zohar is that the earliest that we can go back in understanding the creation of the world is called, just read you the Lashon of the Zohar here, it's called the Ratzon HaPashut. HaChelek HaRishon, this is the Lashon of the Shemar Amunah Kadmoin, which is the introduction to Kabbalah. This is one of the first things he says. HaChelek HaRishayin, that when we're talking about the Machshava of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Dahainu, the Keser of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, follow me carefully. Remember, there's Keser, Chachma, Bina, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchus. Machshava, Soif, Masev, and Machshava, Tchila. Everything ends off with the Maisa, which is Malchus, but it starts with the Machshava, which is the first part of the Keser. Keser, Chachma, Bina. And Machshava itself starts with Ratzon. And the Lashon is HaChelek HaRishayin, where you want to know where this whole thing starts, meaning the world, Hu Etzem Ritzoynoi HaPashut. That's a big Kabbalistic term, important to understand. Ritzoynoi HaPashut. Shel HaBoyre Yisparach Shmai Livroi Esa Olam. Hu Shlav Koidem LaEtzem HaMachshava. That there is a Shalav, a stage, of called Ratzon HaPashut. And that place is called, in another synonymous Kabbalistic term, is Ein Sof. Now, we all heard of Ratzon HaPashut, and we all heard of Ein Sof, but I'm here to tell you this morning it's the same thing. But the Ratzon HaPashut is the first thing we could possibly connect to, because we really can't connect to Ein Sof, which is infinity. We're finite, can't connect to infinity. So to think about before the Ratzon HaPashut, what was HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what was he doing, what was he busy with, you know, this is not our business, b'chlal, and it's not our koach to understand. We spend a lot of time talking about Arba Shenichnasu L'Pardes. But the Ratzon HaPashut is still a chelik of the infinity, if you will, of the Ein Sof. But it's the beginning also of Tzimtzum. Please, you know, watch my words carefully. I'm being medayik. In other words, the Tzimtzum of the Ritzoynoi HaPashut is the world in which we live in. Yeah? Understood? So it means all we know about HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is that he wanted to create a world. That's his Ratzon. We don't know anything else. We don't know what he looks like. We don't know who he is, what he is. Even Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know. Hareini nas kvaitcha, hareini nas panecha. No, you can't. This is beyond. It's already in the Ein Sof. Ein Sof means lo bishvilanu. But his Ratzon you can see in the Torah, which is where the Nefesh HaChaim is coming from. So you need to be mistabik in the Torah, and that's being mistabik in the Ratzon, because the Ratzon is one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So let me share something with you here, which I think is very illustrative of what we're talking about. The Gemara says, Basara Mamaris Nivra Ha'elam. Yeah? The world was created with 10 Mamaris, says in Pirkei Avos. Asara Mamaris Nivra Ha'elam. That's the makbil to the ten dorois and even to the aseres hadibrois. Everything the eser starts with the eser. So what does it mean? It means you open up the first chapter of Bereishis, and you'll see vayoyber 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 Hashem yihi or vayoyber Hashem yihi rukia vayoyber vayoyber vayoyber. Those are the aser mamaris, all the mamaris. Vayoyber vayoyber is lashem maimer. 10 utterances HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Break the Gemara on this Mishnah. It's really in the Mishnah itself. In the Mishnah itself, Hani Asara Tisha Hava. Hold on a second. Let's count. And in fact, it doesn't say Vayomer 10 times. It says Vayomer 9 times. Vayomer Hashem, Vayomer Lakim Yehi Or. So where's the 10? Why does it say Asara when there's only 9? So says the Gemara. That Bereishis Nami Maimerhu. That the Pasuk Bereishis Bara Lakim Es Hashomayim Es Oretz until it says Vayomer, that's also a Maimer, hence you have Asar Mamaris. Yeah? So the obvious question is, if it's a Maimer, why doesn't the Torah start not with the word Bereishis Bara Lakim Es Hashomayim Es Oretz, but Vayomer Hashem Bibreishis, Hashem made the world, etc. If it's a mimer, call it a mimer. If it's not a mimer, it's not a mimer. So what do we say? It's a sar mamaris, but there's only 9 and Bereishis is a mimer. Well, it's not a mimer. It's not a vayomer. That's the kasha. So maybe everybody's heard or thought of a lot of answers to this, but let me tell you what the Baal HaTanya says in Likutei Amoraim Perek Chof Aleph. And he gives the following introduction to this, which is, I think, very germane to what we're talking about. He says, Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu like Midas Basar V'dam. What needs to be understood is that Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu is different than Midas Basar V'dam Sha'adam. And here's at least one of the differences between people and God. Sha'adam Kishimidaber Dibur Harei Hevel Adibur Shebefiv Hu Murgash. When we speak a word, when we utter a word, so that word takes on a life of its own. He measures it in the Hevel Piv. You've created voice waves. There's a Hevel Piv. You've changed the atmosphere with your words. We can understand it better because here I'm talking into a Zoom. The words take on a life of its own. So even if I leave, the words that I said can still be going. They could be taped, they could be played in a year, in 10 years, in 20 years. So everything we say it takes on a life of its own. So it means to say that once we have a word and we say this word, the word is separate from us. Think of it as Mishlei said, Chetz Shachut L'Shoinim. It's like you shoot an arrow. It's gone. It could be it came from me and it's of me and it has to do with my talent and my archery ability and all that. But you shot the arrow. I shot an arrow into the air. Where it lands, I do not wear. I shot the arrow. Chaitz shachut l'shainim. So it is with words. That's what Shlomo HaMelech said. So it comes out that our words are separate than us. On the other hand, when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avala HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Tanya, his dibur and him are all one thing. Very deep. Important point. Hashem is not separate of his words. Because there is nothing separate. His dibur is not like our dibur. So the truth is, he says, it really, when Hashem speaks, it really shouldn't be called dibur at all. Rakal derech mashal, k'moishin dibur atachten sheba adam hu megala l'shoymi masho yitzofun v'nela b'mach shavtoi, kach l'malo be'ein soif b'richu yitzias ha'or v'achias v'mena yisbarach me'ahelem el agiloi livroi oylamais l'achyoysam nikra b'shem dibur. Okay, let me just explain. You saw this stick of things. Rabbi Yaakov Pinsky, are you there or just your chandelier? I don't see. We got it. Here's the nakuda.
I'm here, Rebbe. I'm here.
Oh, good. I was worried about it. Here's the Nekuda that Dibur means, the way we use the word Dibur, Diburim, is something which is within us, something which is in our machshava, in our lave. All of a sudden it's being articulated, it's being yotze. That's what Dibur is. Something is coming from hidden to galui, yes? From hidden to galui. That's what Dibur is. Every time I talk, if I talk chachma, it means I'm a chacham. If I talk shtus, it means I'm a shoyte. So I'm being megala mashibifnim. Nichnas yayin yotzasoy. You get even a better look at the inside. But the way we use Dibur, says the Baal HaTanya in a very astute analysis, is gilui hapnim vahanelam. In that sense, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Dibur or Maimur is also a gilui of Ritzoinai. So Asara Maimaris Nivra Oilam means that we have 10 giluyim of something which was Ein Soif and we have no kesher with, we have no understanding with at all. We can't. No hasaga. But Asara Maimaris Nivra Oilam, let's read Asara Giluyim. Like our Dibur is Megalam Behelam. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu started giving the Torah, Bereishis, Bara Elokim, HaShemayim, HaSaretz, Ba'asara Ma'amareis, it was with 10 Giluyim. So says the Baal HaTanya, V'hein hein, Asara Ma'amareis, Shebehen Nivra Olam, V'chein Shar Kol Atar Nevi'im, Suvim, Shisigo Nevi'im, B'mar Nevo'asam. Hare dibura yo machshavte kivyachum yuchadas imay betachlus ayichud. Derech mashal gomay dibura machshavte shal adam ba'odem koyach chachmase. So the only difference is that when we're, once we're megala something through our dibur, so the dibur has a life of its own. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's megala dibur ba'asar ma'amarish nivra oylam, it never goes away. That in other words, it never separates from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not something which becomes so his dibur is gufa his ratzain vilachain. And here's what's important about this. It says the Baal HaTanya, you know, wunderbar, that the last nine mamaris shenivra ha'ilam are things that we can possibly touch and feel and begin to understand. Yihi ar, yichoshech. There should be insects, there should be birds, there should be water, there should be dry land. We get it. Bracious nami maimer hu. Bracious is the same thing. It's a gilui of the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's not a maimer because we really don't get it at all. Because what we're talking about there is bracious, if you take it a step earlier, it's a gilui of what? It's a gilui of Ritzoinai HaPashut. And since it's a gilui of Ritzoinai HaPashut, it's impossible for us to be masik. So, bracious nami maimer hu, says the Baal HaTanya, but it's not the type of maimer which has any kind of a mushal to our dibur, because it's everything that we say is a giloy of something which was before it, and therefore bracious can't be a giloy of what was before it, because en giloy of what was before it. So hence, bracious nami mimer, it is a mimer and it's not a mimer. It is a dibur and it's not a dibur. I'll give you a mushal. The Maral says that the Asaras Hadibrois are connected the Asaras Mamaris. Okay, you can figure it out. If you look at the Shem Mishmul on Shavuos, who was a Goyin in Maral, he lines them up. He lines up the Asaras Mamaris and the Asaras Hadibrois. So the Ramban and others asked the Kasha, the first one of the Asaras Hadibrois is Anoichi Hashem Elokecha Asher Yotzeisi Me'aretz Mitzrayim. What's the command there? What's the action line? What are we supposed to do? Anoichi Hashem, allow me to introduce myself. Anoichi Hashem Elokecha Asher Yotzeisicha Me'aretz Mitzrayim. Okay, Lo Yielecha. That's a practical point. But what's Anoichi Hashem Elokecha? So says the Shem Mishmul and the Maral, that the first dibur is connected to the first mimer, so it doesn't have a tzivui per se. It's a metzias of Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. And It doesn't have an action point. In other words, Hashem is kivyachol introducing himself. It's the same thing as Bereishis Bara Elokim. It's a yidiyah. It's a gilui ritzoinai. Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. I created the world. Hello, I'm the one who took you out of Mitzrayim. I'm the one who created the world. But it's called one of the Ten Commandments, even though it's not a command. And the Bereishis is considered one of the Asar Mamaris, even though it's not a Maimer. Does it make any sense to anybody here? You following? So says the Baal HaTanya wonderfully that the reason it's not called a Maimer because you can't be Megala, the Ein Sof. He says something, Agav, very beautiful in Perichav Aleph. He says that people think, as the Baal HaTanya says, people think that the Iker ness, if you will, of the world is Yesh Me'ayin. Ex nihilo. Something from nothing. Taka. Like all the chemists and all the biologists and everything, you know, they could explain that people came from apes or wherever they came from, but they can't. How do you get to the first? Okay, nobody can explain the Yesh Me'ayin like that. That move into the first thing, nobody can be masber. They can only explain how one thing evolved from another, possibly, the theory. But they
can't do that either.
Okay, very good. But that's the best they can try for. To explain ex nihilo, they can't. So taka nes, then Hashem created something from nothing. Says the Baal HaTanya, that's not the main nes. The main nes is that we go from the Olam of Ein Sof to the world of Tzimtzum. Like, whoa. It's so deep that we go from infinity to finite. That's the taich of the ness. To take some, to go from the Hashem's world, which is Ein Sof, to go through the different simsumim, and he points out that there are 10 simsumim, and those are the Asar Mamaris. Leave for a moment your mind the political aspect of simsum, because that's not what we're talking about over here. But the fact of the matter is, somehow or another, infinity became finite. And that's even more important than Yesh comes from Ayin.
Isn't that the same thing?
I think coming from Ayin. I think it's the same thing, but he uses the Lashon.
Ayin is Ein Sof.
Well,
but what is Ayin?
Ayin means nothing. It's very interesting. Like we say, until him. Shira Malos, Esa Einai Ela Haharim, Me'ayin Yavai Ezri. So, Pashat, like if you listen to Shlomo Karlbach, you say, from whence cometh my help? Come my eyes, right? From whence cometh my help? Now, truth be told, I'm not sure if whence is a word altogether. You've got to look that one up, whence. But, from whence cometh my help? But the Mekubalim say, Me'ayin Yavai Ezri, that what the Ezri that I need, the help that I need, the Ezrat Hashem that I need, is not going to come from anything. It's Me'ayin, it comes from nothing, because the world is Yesh Me'ayin. So change the translation of Ayin from whence, Me'ayin Tavai. Ula ayin teilech. Not from where, but a different word, from nothing. Me ayin comes the Arizal, Jonathan, and he touches the Zoyar, and he says that understand me ayin yavai ezri means from the Ein Sof. Comes from. So we have Shloisha Shehenachas. You have the where, from whence cometh my help. You have from nothing comes my help. And you have Me'ayin Lashon Ein Sof, that from infinity comes finite, tangible help to me in this world. So in other words, every time, this is what David HaMelech was saying, every time we need some help from Hashem, which is, I guess, all day, what's rolling in to help us has nothing to do with the reality in front of us. Necessarily, Hashem could use the reality in front of us, but it could also not use the reality in front of us, and it could be a total yesh mi'ayin, or, to put it more particularly, from the world of Ein Sof, a little gift from infinity and from eternity into our finite world.
The middle pshat, is it really a pshat? Because is there really such a thing as nothing?
You have to ask Amatzia. You have to ask Amatzia, I don't know.
The analogy situation is time. A situation before there was time. It's hard to conceive what exactly that means because we are finite intelligence. We cannot actually conceive.
Same thing. How can we understand? That's understanding infinity. Understanding no time is understanding infinity.
Exactly. We're a situation where there's no time, and then God, at that moment, a split second, if I can use that expression, created time is a quantum change in reality.
But my point was, there's no such thing as nothing.
In your world and in my world, there's no such thing.
There's no such thing as
nothing. I don't know what nothing means, but a nothing is a loss.
Say that there's no place without it. Don't we say that? I'm getting the phrase wrong.
Leis hasar panui mine.
Yeah, that one. Thank you.
Yeah, nothing. But I don't. I'm not a philosopher, but
perhaps the halal of the tzimtzum is the nothing. And that was already the Ein Sof isn't nothing. The Ein Sof is full with everything. But the Chalal was that, as the, maybe the Baal HaTanya wants to say, the beginning of Tzimtzum was the transition from Ein Sof, from infinity to finite. Finite could also be nothing. Nothing can't exist in infinity, but nothing could exist in the finite.
Well, that's not what the Baal HaTanya is trying to say. That's what he is saying. That is clearly what he is saying. I just want to say this, that nothing is a lashon of no, yeah? So, like the shorter of the word nothing is no. So, sometimes the best we can do is to define things in the negative, meaning, well, it's not that, it's not this, it's not that, it's not this. You know,
it's... All those definitions is they're all unfathomable. So yes, from whence means we can't even mafsig it, and infinite we can't mafsig, and Johnson points out nothing is also something that we can't fathom. We don't understand what that means. So maybe that's the that's miyached all of these different meanings.
Okay, but just because we don't understand doesn't mean it doesn't exist, right? I mean. That's the point here.
It's beyond their understanding.
Beside her, but doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. There is such a thing as infinity, right? So that's an akuda. So okay. So what do I want from all this? Why am I telling you all this? Yes, Jonathan.
So when we firstly said that the Ein there's the Ein Sof, and then there's the Ein. So is our answer to the Baal HaTanya, is that what someone just said, that for him the Yesh Me'ayin, the Ayin is the Ayin of the Halal, which is different than the Ein Sof.
I don't know. Good. Step back. Good. A good point. Good point. Could be.
Well, he made the point.
Yeah. Good point.
I'm just asking if that.
Once you're in that place, I don't understand it, so I don't know. But what I was trying to say is nothing is no, meaning the most we can do usually is define things in the negative. That's the most we can do. One second here, something just went wrong with my screen. One second, please. Okay. The place, just to that's what the Baal HaTanya says. But then he goes on to say what's nogei l'didon. That kalal, as you're calling it, or that the infinity, which I'm calling it, netzach. So Torah is Netzach, right? Yisrael is Netzach. Netzach Yisrael lo yishakir. Netzach means eternal. Eternal is the same same thing as infinity, except it's going on the other end, if you will. But the beginning of everything from the moment that we can understand that as a keser, we can begin to grasp it a little bit, is Ratzon. That's what the Baal Tanya says. So Breishis Bara Elokim is a Shemayim is Aretz Nami Maimer Hu. What you do is you don't have a giloy of his machshava, and you don't have but you have a giloy of his Ratzon. There is a Ratzon that he Breishis Bara Elokim is Shemayim is Aretz. He wanted to create the world. Simple. Ratzon. We understand what. Hashem, what did you want? I wanted to create the world. Why? None of your business. What am I supposed to be doing here? Work on it and learn Torah. So when we're talking about the Ratzin HaRishayin, or the Ratzin HaElyayin, which is, as the Baal HaTanya points out, Echad with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it's not like a Dibur, and Memela can't be called a Mimer, because if we're understanding the first Bracious there, the first Mimer, then when we would be understanding him, and we can't understand him, the most we can know is that what came out of it, Yehi Or, that there should be light. So the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the beginning of the Torah, but it's already at a point where we can't understand exactly what his Ratzon is. We can't go past that. So that's called, in I'm going back to Kabbalistic language, that little piece, the Truma of the Meiser min HaMeiser, you know? So that little piece in the corner there, if you have the Keser, right, you have Keser, Chachma Bina, the beginning of Chachma is Machshava, that's in the Keser. And then the beginning of Machshava is Ratzon. So that's a piece that we know it's there, Nami Maimerhu, but we can't relate to it except for to know what his Ratzon is, because relating to it would be relating to him and Hashem himself, which is impossible. So the best we could do, or in the Lashon of Chazal, Kol Oisiyos Shel HaTorah Shemoisheim, that once it's something we're reading and touching and feeling, those are a shemois of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's not the Atzmius HaDavar, and we don't need to know the Atzmius HaDavar. But in language, just a vocabulary lesson today, that little corner up there, Meiser Min HaMeiser, is called Ritzonoi HaPashut. And that's the Baal HaTanya, very important. What do we have from this? What we have here is that let's bring it down to who we are and what we are. So we're also Eser Spheres, just like Hashem is Eser Spheres. That's the essence of being created in Tzelem Elokim. We also have Eser Spheros, and we also have Chesed and Gevura and Tiferes and Netzach and Hoid and Yesoid and Malchus, and we even have Keser, which is our Machshava, Chachma, Bina, Das. But the whole thing is driven. You know, like if you look down on your computer, it might say driven by Intel, Lahavdil. If you, the whole thing is driven by one tiny piece, one tiny little chip called the Ratzon chip. And that Ratzon chip is really Koveya every decision that we make and everything that we are going to become and everything that we're going to do. And if your original Ratzon is right, then cybernetically we will get back to the right place, like a guided missile. If the original Ratzon is wrong, which Reb Chaim Volozhin calls Shaloi Lishma, so woe is to us, because we will always travel to the wrong place somehow. And we'll write books about it. And we'll lecture about it. But it won't be the essence of truth. It won't, because the Ratzon, the original Ratzon, is not the right Ratzon. You know, it's interesting, like if you, just as a mushel, I'm saying, but if you have like people say, you know, talk about marketing, you know, a lot, which is a subject that interests me. So if you talk about marketing, it's okay. Like, people really want to have a cool-looking gadget, you know, or they really want to have, like, access. Or maybe, what do they, what, in other words, like, if Steve Jobs is inventing something, what does he needs to get al derech mashal to the Ratzon HaRishon, if you will, Nebuch, of a person. And what do you want? You want instant, you want control, you know, these are really the things that, you know, that are driving, you know, most marketing. So if you talk about like why do I want this car? So I want this car, you know, I have to tell you, Gaval, look at my, I just have to tell you this story, and it's very illustrative. But when our great Rabbi Rav Sheinberg, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, he came to Australia as my guest. I was living in Australia. And people were all over the place trying to be mechabed him. Baruch Hashem was a very beautiful, beautiful thing. There was a couple hundred people at the airport when he came, etc. So there's one fellow who was a wonderful guy, Tzadik of a guy, who was very, very wealthy. And he said, I'd like to pick the Rosh Yeshiva up. I'd like him to come in my car because I have a Rolls Royce. And it's from a certain year. I don't remember. You know, Rolls Royce doesn't go, you want the latest model, you want the best model. So he says, Chubad, that the Rosh Yeshiva should be picked up in his Rolls Royce. So, okay, sounds good to me. Sounds better than a Chevy, you know. Or so the guy picks up the Rosh Yeshiva in the Rolls Royce. I, too, went in the Rolls Royce. And it was a kind of a funny situation, because I don't think that the Rashiva was garish at all that he was in a car. So finally, in the middle of the trip, it's a long trip from the airport to the city there. So in the middle of the trip, the guy turns around and he says, "Does the Rosh Yeshiva realize that we're driving in a Rolls Royce?" So the Rosh Yeshiva looks up out of a sefer, and he didn't even say anything. You know, you would think, by the way, when you come from another country and there's a couple hundred people at the airport and everybody's singing and you get into a Rolls Royce, you would think you would say something. He didn't say, he just opened up a sefer and he was learning. It was like completely. So he says, do you know you're in a Rolls Royce? So the Rosh Yeshiva motioned and he said, like, you know, what is it? Like, what's the... So the guy gave a chuckle. He said, this is a very, very expensive car. So he says, this particular car you're driving in, I forgot the number, I think he said cost $190,000. I think that was the number. So the Rosh Yeshiva pointed to the car, like on the other side, you know, driving on the highway. He said, like, how much does that one cost? Because he didn't know. So he said, that cost $25,000. So he says, so why'd you pay $190,000 if you could get a car for $25,000? So it was an important story I'm telling you now. So the guy said, look, Rolls Royce is a very special car and everything is handmade. And the wood he points to on the front panel is hand polished and it's wood and blah, 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 blah. So the Rosh Yeshiva like, okay, you know, he didn't get it. So we get to the place where the Rosh Yeshiva was staying. And everybody got out of the car. And this fellow was frustrated that the Rosh Yeshiva didn't seem to have a proper appreciation for the Rolls Royce that he was driving in, riding in. So they get out. So the guy goes in front of his car. And, you know, a Rolls Royce has like a bowing lady, I think it is on it, a kneeling lady on it. And, you know, that's the emblem on the front of the hood of the car. And a lot of people like to steal those things, you know, it's Rolls Royce. So he showed him, he says, Rebbe, watch this. And he gives it a little tap on the front and a motor comes and grabs it and takes it into the car so you can't steal it. So he's trying to show him, like, you know. So the Rosh Yeshiva said, okay, that's $1,000. Where does the other $170,000, like, where, like, you still couldn't understand it. So he said to him, he said, Yisrael, why would you spend $190,000 on a car? He says, I just don't understand it. So the guy said to him, look, he says, it's not that this is handmade and this is this and this is that. He says, the point is, you know, like he goes to a meeting and, you know, like you come to the meeting and a piece of real estate and you're driving in a Rolls Royce. It's a whole different... Kavod, you know, people have a different way of looking at you, and you know when you come into your, you know, these high level places, you know, and this, he was a big businessman, obviously. So he says that's what it's like, the kavod of driving a Rolls Royce. So the Rishiva says, I'll never forget this, in the garage in Melbourne, Australia, he says, COVID! That's what's driving you, COVID! So the guy like sheepishly, look, okay. He says, I have an idea for you. He said, sell the car. Take the $150,000. Name a wing in our yeshiva in Yerushalayim. You'll see it. Your children will see it. Your grandchildren will see it. Everybody who walks by will see it. That's COVID. That's COVID. He says, well, you have this car. You're putting it in your garage. That's where you're putting your COVID. So, okay. Ad kan hasipur, which is the point of the story that I'm trying to bring out here, is that there's the Ratzon HaRishon. And when you get down to it, it took a whole trip from the airport to the house to get down to the Ratzon HaRishon. And surprisingly, Rav Scheinberg Zatzal was trying to point out to his millionaire guest, what is really your Ratzon HaRishon? And when it came down to was kavod. So kavod is the Ratzon HaRishon. So now let's deal on the level of kavod. By the way, kavod, hakina v'ataiva v'hakavod, those three things, which are very similar, are motzianus ha'adam min ha'olam, because the olam is here, and kina, taiva, kavod has to do with our original ratzon. Why are we doing something? Why are we really doing something? Because of kina? Because of taiva? Because of kavod? Which could be good things too. Kina soy from tar b'chachma, etc. But why are we really doing something is the difference between being part of the oilam or might see in us the oilam. You're already going into another otherworldly place. And it's very interesting that the Gros says on that Mishnah that kina, taiva, and kavod are infinite. There's no end to what a person will do out of kina. And there's no end to what a person will do out of taifa. And no matter how much kavod you have, and we see it with some of these world leaders, like, it's unbelievable the amount of kavod they have. Like, you didn't know so much kavod was invented. But if somebody is mevaza their kavod just a drop, whoa, there's a war with some of them. Don't want to mention any names. So kina, no, it's very interesting. What the pshat and kina, taiva, kavod, the difference between those three things that Chazal point out over every other thing in the world is those are the drivers. Those are the drivers of everything that we do. So if we have two more minutes, let me just read what we read last time just with this understanding. What do you see now? Two pages or one?
One.
Okay, I'm confused with my screen, but it starts with Kavod Anava. So Pasuk Bey says the Gra. Kol Darche Ish Zoch Be'enav says the Gra. Kol Darche Ha'adam. Kol Darche Adam Nimshach in Acher Harotzain Harishain. Everything that we do ever always emanates from the Ratzon HaRishon. U'kamaisha oila al ruchai b'Ratzon HaRishon. Now, let me just teach something else, that ruach is the same as Ratzon, which is very interesting. U'kamaisha oila al ruchai b'Ratzon HaRishon. V'aratzon ba min haruach k'maisha pirashti. V'zehu kol darche ish heim zochim v'yesharim be'enav. This is unbelievable. If your ratzon is good, says the Gra, kol darche ish heim zochim v'yesharim be'enav, af she oisev avel. Even if you're doing something wrong, it's good. Hu mare ponim sheholech b'derech hayasher. Ach, However, b'toichein ruchais Hashem, that's the pasuk. However, hu yodeya, Hashem knows, im lehaisa beruchai remia. Only God knows what that original ruach, what the driver is. We could be so camouflaged by it, it could be so hidden within us, because the ratzon is the hidden part. Just like it's the hidden part by God, it's the hidden part by us. And it's so hard to get in touch with what my ratzon arishin is. So only God will be able to come and tell you, whoa, whoa, whoa. Everything, you know, it reminds me like of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai before he died. And he said, Shnei drachim lefanai, echad shel gan eden ve'echad shel gehenna ve'eni yodei, ve'eloi tivka, I don't know which drach, how could he not go? Because it's possible. I mean, I'm sure Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai has a lichtig gan eden. But it is possible that you can do so much good and so many good things, but the ratzon harishon is off. And if the ratzon harishon is off, you can write books about why you made the decisions you made, but it all, ein dover oymed mipnei haratzon. Ein dover oymed mipnei haratzon. So this is the ultimate test in Shemayim is not so much on what we do, of course what we do, but not so much on what we do, but more so on what we are. And that gives me great reason for pause. Kloy Mariam, loy haya barotzen harishin shum paniya klal im huzach v'yasher. The check is that were you being driven by kina atai v'kavod, or was it lishma? Why is it so important? It's so important because connecting to our ratzon is connecting to our ruach, which is we share that with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We share real estate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's really connecting to the deepest part within us, which then ultimately connects in both directions to the Ein Sof. Ein Sof meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's our connection point. So what we do is, of course, very important. I'm not minimizing what we do. What we do is extremely important, but where it's coming from, like to try to meditate. You know, your retinas as you get older, like they change. You know, your taivas change. There's less things you care about. Although kavod, like that stays pretty strong all the way till the end. You know, there was a big Hasidic Rebbe. Maybe somebody will tell me, God, maybe you know that there was a famous Hasidic Rebbe. Maybe it was the Chernobyler. So he was saying a very strong Al-Chet and Vidui before he was Nifter. So somebody said to him, what is the Rebbe doing Al-Chet for? What do you have to do Al-Chet for? So he says, because it could be that I'm just saying this Vidui with so much Kavanah, so everyone should see that, oh, he's saying Vidui with so much Kavanah. So, adheichan advar magin. So we have to, like, I don't know, like, I don't want to be a big Baal Musar here, but I think the lesson here is to, like, start to focus backwards in the ruts and harishain, and then it'll automatically be the driver for everything that we do, which will be zach v'naki, as the Gra says. Okay, Shavua Tov, Yom Tov.
Thank you.
Thank you.